Welcome to Missing the Mouse, episode 13. This week we're going to talk about the Magic Kingdom. And
we're going to do this all in one episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a short one, too.
1 6-hour epic episode.
Nah. We're going to tackle Main Street USA and Adventureland this week. But we're going to have a kind of a series of Magic Kingdom episodes.
Well, because just Main Street and just one land in Magic Kingdom, I mean, can be difficult to tackle in a 30-minute episode.
Yeah. It's like their own little mini park.
Yes, but we should make the effort, right?
Yes, we should. And we will.
All right.
And we will succeed.
Okay. So we've arrived at Magic Kingdom.
And we've walked in the gates, and we've waved our little magic bands in front of the My Magic Plus thing.
That's right. We didn't walk through the turnstiles because there are no turnstiles
now. And we have emerged into Main Street USA.
After walking underneath the railway and getting that picture-perfect view.
Right.
Yes.
Of Cindy's castle. I call her Cindy because we're bestest friends.
You guys are that close. Okay. Right. Well, you know, I still go with Miss Cinderella, but to each their own. Yeah. So now we're at Main Street.
Yes, and Main Street USA is pretty much just a kind of a restaurant area. There is the train station where you can get on the Walt Disney World Railroad that goes around the entire Magic Kingdom. But for the most part, it's shops and restaurants.
But don't forget from 9 to 10 for an hour and 15 minutes a day, you can get on the cars and ride around Main Street as well.
Yeah, don't want to forget about that.
Yes, because you know what experience would be complete without riding? You know, that's actually something that I've seen people doing and I've never done, and I've never been able to figure out where you're supposed to queue up for that.
Yeah.
So now that I know that there's a specific time, which, you know, big secret here, I found that out through the internet. Now that I know there's specific times there, I'm actually going to try to hit that next time because I think that would be fun, you know, because they've got all the old vehicles and stuff.
Right.
Don't they have like the big double-decker bus and everything?
I think so. My mind keeps flashing back to Disneyland where they have those horse-drawn carriages.
Yes, which Disney World has as well.
Do they?
Walt Disney World has as well.
I didn't really pay too much attention to the.
So I know they've got the fire engine, and I think they use the carriage for the Dapper Dans.
Oh, do they?
They use that. Yeah, I think a lot of times they'll ride in and ride out on that carriage as well.
Hmm.
But to your point, yes, there is Tony's on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
Which I've never eaten at, but I've heard good things about. I think I even had a reservation there one time, and then kind of something else came up. The Crystal Palace, which is awesome.
Is that the Italian place?
No, Tony's is the Italian place.
Okay, I have eaten at Tony's.
Okay, so you've eaten at Tony's. So Tony's, any good?
It's real good. It's real good. When I was there, it was themed like Lady and the Tramp.
Yes, which is the Tony's. Tony was the guy from the Lady and the Tramp movie. Remember the restaurant that they're out behind?
Oh, yeah, the chef.
That's okay. What Tony's Town Square restaurant is.
Okay. So. Yeah. Hey, learned something new. But that's the only place in Main Street that I have eaten.
Okay. So I haven't eaten there, but I have eaten at the Crystal Palace. And that is a character dining experience. Mm. So it's basically, it's a really, really good buffet. Well, really, really good. It's a good buffet that's pretty much just a little bit of everything, and they constantly have characters moving through there, and they'll come from table to table, and they'll stop and take pictures, which, you know, it's fun, and I've got pictures with characters at those sorts of things, but, you know, I'm not going to go wait in line for characters outside of something like that, but if I had kids with me that really wanted to get time with the characters, that seems like a great way to avoid a couple of hours in lines, right. You know, because you'll see, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, I think Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, and Piglet, and Eeyore, I seem to recall all of those coming out just in the time that we were at the Crystal Palace.
Wow, they really run them through there.
Yeah, so you can get a lot of characters in a pretty short period of time. And I mean, it's expensive, but you're at Disney, and so everything's kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $2 to $3 signs, which my guess is going to be that maybe $2 signs is lunch, $3 signs is dinner. But like I said, it's a good place. So.
And what kind of food is it?
It's, you know, with a buffet, it's kind of a little bit of everything. Okay. I seem to remember it having a pretty American slant. You know, it's got the different vegetables, you know, and then they've got the pizza and chicken fingers for the kids, and they've got like the chopping block with different meats on it. So, you know, there's a pretty nice selection there, I feel
cool.
like.
Cool. And then there's the Main Street Bakery, which is a bakery.
Is that do they have the? Is that where Starbucks is now?
You know what? I don't. Did Starbucks consume one of the?
Yes, that is where Starbucks is now.
Okay,
that's right. Because Starbucks entered into an agreement with Disney. Was that like a year ago?
Yeah, it was very recently, and they've kind of made this backstory about how Starbucks got there, and they've kind of tried to shoehorn it into the story of Main Street USA.
Right. So yeah, the Main Street Bakery is now where Starbucks is. And surprisingly enough, if you are a fan of Starbucks, which means that you're a fan of overpriced coffee. And I say that as someone who's a fan of Starbucks's overpriced coffee.
Me too.
You know, I just quickly pulled up the menu, and it's like a venti white mocha frappuccino for $5.50. I mean,
So it's Starbucks pricing.
Yeah, but it's not Starbucks plus Disney pricing, mm-hmm. Which to me is actually really impressive.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and of course I haven't been in there since they've redone it with the Starbucks. Before that, I know that the bakery side of things was very tasty, and I'm hoping they still have bakery type stuff in there, which it's not showing up on the menu, but. You know, I don't know that they would really have the baked goods on the menu, because I think that I don't remember there being a very fixed menu there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of whatever they were making that day.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see the next time I go to the parks, and the next time you go to the parks, what's actually in there as far as the baked goods. But you can get your Starbucks fix, your caffeine fix, for what I would call pretty reasonably priced. You know, again. In a Starbucks world, paying Starbucks prices.
Which, you know, that's surprising that they didn't tack on an extra $1 or $2, you know, convenience fee.
It is surprising, but then it's not, because, and I know we've got to cover Main Street and Adventureland, so we can't afford to go off topic for too long, but the gas at the Hess stations that are on property, it's typically like a lot of times it's like 15 to 20 cents cheaper than gas that you'll find just outside of the park gates.
Really?
So the gas stations that are on property. And I think that has to do with Disney basically saying, hey, if you're going to we're going to let you put a gas station on our property and you get to, you know, get access to all of our guests. But in trade, you can't, you know, take them to the cleaners on the price of gas. And so I wonder if there wasn't a similar agreement made with Starbucks. So
that makes sense. That makes sense to keep the experience good.
Right, exactly, which brilliant play on Disney's part and brilliant play on Hess and on Starbucks' part, if that's what was required, to get, you know, involved with Disney. And that seems like a pretty small price to pay to have a captive audience like that.
Well, and I can guarantee you any day we're at the Magic Kingdom, we will be stopping at Starbucks.
So, oh, yeah.
They've got me.
When it's not $8, you got to go, right?
Right. And then the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor, which I almost went into, but I did not. But from what I remember, it's pretty much like a Baskin Robbins, where they have a bunch of several like tubs of ice cream in a cooler, and you just pick whatever flavors you want, and they'll stack some scoops up for you.
Yeah, you know, it's where I've walked through it. I know it's hand scooped, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So, you know, yeah, it's that very Baskin Robbins-y type of thing. I've walked through there plenty of times. I think they probably make their waffle cones there.
I think they do.
Because I feel like when I've walked through, I've always smelled like waffle cones cooking mm-hmm. and thing. So, yeah, you know, I've never had the craving for ice cream when I've come in there. And I want to say, I don't know if it still is, but I feel like that used to be pretty much like connected to the bakery.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was wondering when Starbucks came in, is most of that stuff on Main Street was connected in some way.
Right, you could pretty much walk directly from one to the other to the other.
Right.
You know, from the ice cream parlor to the bakery to, I feel like, is Emporium on the next on that side of the road?
I think it may be. That, we didn't really go into many of the shops on Main Street.
Right. So, but yeah, so that's the other thing that you're going to find there is it going to be shops. So you could walk from thing to thing to thing in there. I sure hope they kept it that way because that was really nice, especially if a parade was going on and you needed to navigate.
Right.
You could still navigate through the shops in spite of the fact that people were stopped on the curbs waiting for, you know, whatever was coming through.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm that's one thing I'm looking to really see is did Starbucks coming in, did they want to kind of wall off close up their walls and just make it that much harder for you to get out?
Right. Kind of say, if you're coming for Starbucks, you're coming to Starbucks. If you're coming somewhere else, go somewhere else,
right.
Sort of a thing. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see what that's like. But yeah, so those are basically right next to each other. And then you've got Casey's Corner, which is basically opposite where the ice cream parlor is. And that's just hot dogs, soft pretzels, I think, mm-hmm. you know, maybe popcorn. I mean, it's very, very, very American ballparky type.
Right.
Food,
easy to eat with one hand and easy to eat on the go.
Yes. And the advantage is that, so it's a counter service and it's almost the kind of counter service that you would expect to be outdoors, but it is indoors. So you actually do get to walk in and take a break. But, yeah, so it's like nachos, corn dog nuggets, cotton candy, Cracker Jacks. Again, this is – the theming here is Casey at bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about the baseball theme. And I really feel like that actually plays out pretty well around there. I think they've got like a little player piano or a guy playing piano over there at times.
Is that where the because there is a guy on Main Street that plays a piano outside one of the places?
Yes, I feel like that's at Casey's Corner.
Okay, yeah, he plays like ragtime kind of stuff, so
yes,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So you kind of, you know, you get a little bit of a show with a counter service and, you know, relatively inexpensive counter service meal. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for hot dogs, of course I'm not stopping there because there are only a couple of counter services I go to in Magic Kingdom, but we're not covering those because they're not on Main Street. So,
right. And then the last restaurant's the Plaza restaurant. Have you eaten there?
I have not eaten there.
I have not either.
I don't know why I haven't eaten there, but I haven't eaten there. But so what? This is another. Is it sit down or is it counter service?
I'm not sure.
Because I am cheating and looking at the menu real quick, and the menu they have could go either way.
And
so, yeah, I have no clue.
I'm sure it's good.
There you go. Everything in Disney's reservations accepted.
Okay.
That would be a
table
sit down. Yeah, so that is a table service, not a quick service. Yeah, I don't know why I haven't been there. I guess I really don't, you know, there's no table service that just wows me in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I hate to say. Now, I will say that I have not been to Be Our Guest.
Hmm.
And I have not been to Cinderella's Royal Table, which my family has been to and has told me that I severely missed out because I didn't go there. But yeah, so that's probably why I haven't done Plaza, because it is a table service restaurant at Magic Kingdom. But
Well, I'll be able to report on Be Our Guest when I get back.
So you did get reservations for Be Our Guest?
Not yet, but I will be. We're still 6 months. Wow. We're not even 6 months out. So.
So you're still outside of the. Well, you're going to be calling our online first thing in the morning, right?
Yep.
To make sure that you hit that.
Yep.
It's also worth noting that on Main Street, along with the restaurants, again, there are some really good gift shops there. They've got a gift shop that's pretty much all devoted to a lot of the hats that you're going to see.
Yeah, they have ear hat parks. Places where you can customize ear hats and have them embroidered. Yes. And everything. They're really cool.
Yeah, and you can get your hat embroidered there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there's a place to do it at Epcot. There's a place to do it. I think there's a place to do it at Hollywood Studios, and then there's a place downtown Disney in the Christmas store where you can have that done. But you know, it's not like you can just get that embroidered name on the back of your hat anywhere in the parks.
Right.
So definitely stop by there if you want to get the embroidered name on the hat, or if you just want an easy selection, because a lot of other places are going to be. The hats that are going to be available are going to be the ones themed to that area.
Right. It's surprisingly hard to find just a regular old standard Mickey Mouse ear hat.
Right. And then the Emporium, of course, just has a plethora of Disney gifts and tchotchke and whatever else you're looking for. So, yeah, if you want to do a little bit of shopping, definitely hit those shops there. Unless you're looking for attraction-specific stuff, and that's when those are the things that you may want to hit the gift shops. Or if you're looking for character-specific things, like I'm thinking if you want Winnie the Pooh stuff, you'd want to go to the exit to that attraction, because you're going to get – sometimes you'll find some stuff that you may not see in the main stores inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And then I think to wrap up Main Street, there's tons of photo ops. Pretty much on the main drag down Main Street, there's every 10 or 20 feet, there's a photo pass photographer ready to take your picture.
Oh, yeah.
In front of Cindy's Castle. So,
yeah, they have like four or five of those now that are set up.
Yeah.
And I would guess with Magic Band, it's gotten a lot easier to do that. And you'll find some of them, I feel like, well, okay, I guess I was about to say, I feel like there's some pointed the other way, but... I typically go during the holidays, and so they've got that huge tree set up on the other side of Main Street. And so you'll have some taking pictures of you facing toward the castle, and then others taking pictures of you with the tree as your background. Mm. They also do the flag at, I want to say it's like 5 or 6. It's around sunset, but there's actually, you know, they'll actually have the band come out and play. They will bring down the flag, fold it, and walk it back out. So that's kind of an interesting thing to see, I think, because it's interesting that they took the time to put something like that on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Dapper Dans.
Oh, man, yeah. They're a quartet, pretty much a barbershop quartet, and they play it like they're still in 1965. Whatever the year is that Main 40s, Street is.
50s.
I think, yeah, 50s, 60s. But they play it like they're still in that era. And
yeah.
So it's very entertaining. Very, very good.
And the Main Street band is very talented as well. If they happen to be coming by, take the time to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a good show as well. So, yeah, I think that finally, kind of covers Main Street.
Though. All right. Well, so... Up into the middle of the wheel there, if you take a hard left, you get to Adventureland, and that'll be our first land to discuss. Adventureland has, well, let's just get started with the first attraction in there, in the Jungle Cruise.
The wonderful Jungle Cruise, where you will get to see the world famous Backside of Water.
Bum, bum, bum. Just kidding. It's not really bad. Jungle Cruise
it's really bad, but it's really good because it's really bad.
Yeah, Jungle Cruise is the cheesiest, ride, I think, or the cheesiest attraction, and that's what makes it the best.
Yes, because it's an attraction that does not take itself seriously.
Right.
Though we should hit on the fact that, you know, what I guess a few episodes back, you and I both immediately went to this attraction as one of those where your skipper can make or break
yes.
your experience.
Much like the great movie ride in Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
Your skipper on the Jungle Cruise, if he's not into it, or she, if they're not into the spiel and not into the performance, Jungle Cruise is so-so. But if you yeah. get a skipper who's good, who is comfortable kind of going off script a little bit, oh, man, it's the greatest. It you'll be laughing the whole time.
Yeah, and that, you know, I feel like the script is, it's a little bit easier to deal with when they're not, when they don't deviate as much if you haven't done it before. But once you've done it once, you know all of the scripted jokes. So those skippers that are willing to go a little bit off script, it's kind of a fun treat. But even then, a lot of it has to do with just the delivery. You have the skippers who are, welcome to the Jungle Cruise, and as we travel through the jungle, oh, look, they can grow up to 12 inches or a foot. You know, just totally monotone delivery as though, get me out of this place now. Or somebody who just really gets into it, you know, and when they tell you to duck, I mean, they shake the boat as they hit the ground so hard, you know, and just mm-hmm. really want to get into their role. And those are the ones that are just so much fun. In fact, there have been times when I've been like, I want to go get back in line and get a better skipper.
Yeah. It really is that dependent on a good skipper.
Yeah. So if you haven't done it before, you're going to have you'll have a good time regardless.
Yeah, I would say the first time you don't really know what you're missing with a so-so skipper, but then the next time you ride it with the so-so skipper, you'll be like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, the next time if you're just like, "Oh, it's the same jokes and this one's kind of boring," then you know that you don't have one of the really, really good skippers that are available there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the Jungle Cruise. It is a boat ride. You will see audio animatronics. It's a slow attraction. Nothing really to watch out for unless you just have a fear of water, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun. It's a good one. It's a classic.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. And it's not Collie River Rapids, so you're not going to come out of it soaked or
right.
anything
yeah,
like
you
that.
Don't get wet.
You can't tell them that they don't get wet. That totally just ruined a part of the ride.
You do get wet. You may
now
get wet.
Now you're just lying. There you go.
I don't know.
Just leave it with
I
that.
I don't know if you get wet. I've never even been to Walt Disney World. I don't know anything
okay.
about this.
So that's the Jungle Cruise. What do you want to hit next?
A ride that you do sometimes get wet on. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh. Yeah, you do get wet on that sometimes, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Not very often, but every once in a while, if the boat hits the water right, mm-hmm. yeah, you can get a little damp.
Mm-hmm. But man, another classic, another original ride. And the Walt Disney World one is shorter than the Disneyland one. If you've only ever been on the one at Disneyland, you may be a little disappointed. Just because it's kind of pirates light.
Yeah, it's not as drawn out as the one in Disneyland, and you don't go past, you know, Blue Bayou or anything like that. But if you haven't done the one at Disneyland, you'll never know.
Right.
And it's a fun attraction.
Oh yeah, no. I don't mean to take away from it. It's even fun if you've been on the one in Disneyland, but
yes,
it is much shorter.
But you will notice you're missing something if you've been on the one in Disneyland.
Yeah. But I think in 2007 they rethemed it to be like the movie. They went in and they put Johnny Depp in a bunch of places, and they really kind of movie-tized it a bit.
Yes. Well, and didn't they? Was Barbossa over on the ship? I mean, I feel like they redid that audio animatronic as well, because I mean that's definitely whoever, whatever actor that is, whose name escapes me right now. So they did some retheming all around.
Yeah.
Trying to, because in the ship is, you know, bring out Jack Sparrow, give us Jack Sparrow.
Right.
All that sort of stuff. But it's a pretty well done retheme because it's not drastically different than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it, but at the same time, it, there are other times when they've done rethemes where it feels like a Jingle Cruise comes to mind, where it feels like something was just tacked on to something else. And it doesn't, it, to me, it doesn't really feel like that was tacked on.
Right.
It does because I know what it was like before, but it flows naturally.
Yeah.
It flows well.
It does. And it's not over the top. You know, they're not up there going, we're the Pirates of the Caribbean. Wink. And bring out Jack Sparrow, you know. It's very subtle and just kind of, I guess they just changed it. They changed the original, you know, script from the original ride to just mention Jack Sparrow.
Right. And at the same time, it's worth noting that if you have not been on the attraction before, the movie was still, it's not like everything, you know. So the scene with the guys who are stuck in the jail cell trying to call to the dog to bring them the key. No, that wasn't something from the movie that they then put in the ride. That was something from the ride that then went into the movie. So
right.
both affected one another.
Right. That's a good point.
Which is kind of cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely a ride that you need to do. That's a ride that the lines can get kind of long on, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is fast paced, but I'll be honest, I have not really thought through it. You know, I may have to wait till we get to the very end of Magic Kingdom to be able to say where my FastPass pluses would be.
Yeah.
But just be aware that line can get kind of long. But what's nice about that line is that most of it is indoors, and it's pretty well themed as you go throughout. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of the back and forth stuff. You're actually walking past different little cubby holes,
right
through the fort. I guess as you're getting ready to board your boat.
Yep. And let me break in here with some breaking news. FastPass Plus, they've announced that you will get 3, and once you've burned through your 3 FastPass Pluses, you will be able to go up to a kiosk in the park and schedule a 4th FastPass.
So they're giving us one more.
Right. One more, but you have to burn through your first 3.
So I have to burn through my first 3. I have to find a kiosk, and something still has to be available.
Yes.
And if all those things are right, I can get my 4th.
Right.
Hey, you know what? It's. I like the fact that it proves that Disney is listening to people, to the complaints that, you know, we used to get more fast passes than we do now. And as much as I make that sound like it's really a lot of work, the old FastPass system was that you had to go to each attraction, get a FastPass. You could only have one at a time. You know, you had to wait till your FastPass had expired before you could get another one. So the old FastPass system was a lot of work as well.
Right.
So, you know, that actually sounds like a pretty decent compromise. Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing it right now, but they're going to start allowing park hopping.
Yeah, I heard that one. I heard the park hopping. I didn't hear that they had actually decided on the, you know, I heard that it was kind of rumored that we were going to get more fast passes. So I'm glad to hear that came to pass. And then, of course, the park hopping is nice as well.
Mm-hmm. Still only because, 3 total, though.
Yeah, but so for something 4. Like Animal Kingdom, you know, where maybe you don't burn through all 3 there, maybe you burn through 2, you can go ahead and set up 1 at another park.
Right.
So I like that idea. I really do. So that maybe even more encourages the possibility of getting a fast pass on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So on to another attraction where you might get wet. That's right. It's the Magic Carpets of Aladdin.
Where you will definitely not know that you might get wet there?
Oh, no. You think I'm joking about that.
I've never been on Magic Carpets of Aladdin.
The camels spit.
Oh, gross.
The camels on the Magic Carpets of Aladdin will spit, and you could get wet from the camel spitting.
That's gross.
So, that's not a joke. You can get wet on the Magic Carpets of Aladdin, which is really weird to me that, you know, a flying, basically Dumbo with a magic carpet, which is kind of what I see it to be. You can actually get wet on.
Yeah.
But so Magic Carpets of Aladdin. It's a very simple attraction. I mean, as in, it's themed to Aladdin. But there's not like the same in depth theming that you see throughout the queue and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the queue pretty much lines up around it, very similar to how Dumbo works. And again, I think the carpet, I want to say the carpet like tilts backwards and forwards and everything. So if it doesn't have a long line, it's worth getting on. I see that it is FastPass Plus. I would not worry about using my FastPass on the Magic Carpets of Aladdin.
Yeah, I would agree. And then something that's not really an attraction, it's more of a show, is one of the crown jewel or gems of Disney is the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Yes, which is no longer under new management.
Oh, thank God.
So for those of you who don't know, the Enchanted Tiki Room had an original show, and then they being Disney, attempted to update it, I guess, because the crowds weren't quite coming in the way that they used to, by creating the under new management version of it, in which Iago and Zazu,
mm-hmm.
I believe, then took over management of the Tiki Room. And so you had these amazing, especially when you consider how old those audio animatronics are, these amazingly well-done birds that look pretty realistic, mm-hmm. The plants that look pretty realistic, the carvings that look pretty realistic. And then you had plush Zazu and plush Iago.
Yeah.
In the middle of it all. And, you know, cutting into the songs and everything. And
dude, cutting into the best song.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to say props to Disney for trying something, but I wonder if that was focus tested very well.
Yeah. And then there was a horrible fire, and Iago and Zazu burned up, and the original tiki presence was restored. Although the fountain broke, and there's still no fountain.
Yes, and there is no fountain, which is sad, because it was a really, really cool fountain.
Yeah, dude, in Disney, I had never seen it until I went to Disneyland. That fountain shoots
yes.
up so high.
Uh-huh.
That was amazing. And
it's so beautifully done. But if you're going to go to Walt Disney World, you must go to the Tiki Room.
Yes, please.
Because it is a classic. And while you're visiting the Tiki Room, be sure to head over to Aloha Isle before you go wait for your show to start and pick up a Dole Whip.
Dole Whip.
Yum. Yes, you just have to pick up a Dole Whip. It's pineapple soft serve.
Mm. Oh, man.
And in fact, if you're feeling extra fun, pick up a Dole Whip float, which is the pineapple soft serve in pineapple juice.
Bruh, that sounds crazy.
I know. Crazy good.
That's crazy delicious.
Like. That's right. So, yes, I am very much sold on the Dole Whip,
mm-hmm.
and it is a item I must get every time I go to the Magic Kingdom, and if I don't get it when I go to the Magic Kingdom, I am very saddened. So please go to get your Dole Whip, go do the Enchanted Tiki Room, go enjoy some classic Disney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Tiki Room it's really fun. It's a sing-along, and it's very much like, I know when I was in like third, fourth, fifth grade, we used to watch those old Disney movies with the little bouncing Jiminy Cricket head or the bouncing Mickey head. And the songs are very much like that. They're simple, but they're fun, and they encourage you to sing along. And
that song will be stuck in your head.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
Yes, that's going to get stuck in your head. And I don't really feel like that's a bad thing. So
I listen to it almost daily.
That may be a little bit further than I'm going to go, but hey, more power to you. So once you've got done with the Tiki Room and you want to walk off your Dole Whip and stretch your legs a little bit, I guess you could head over to the Swiss Family Treehouse, right?
Mm-hmm. A little island.
Which is another Disney classic.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done it. I have sat there and kind of watched everybody over there. It's kind of turned into a children's attraction.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they've changed it in that, you know, there's really a lot of stuff that you can climb on and stuff. Really, more than anything, it is kind of like a museum.
Yeah, and I don't think they mean for it to be a kid thing. I think it's just kind of evolved into that.
Well, a lot of adults don't want to climb a total of 116 stairs.
Mm. We are lazy.
That's right, and getting lazier. But if you have seen Swiss Family Robinson, it's kind of cool to see all of this stuff existing in a way that you can go walk through it. I really don't know that it's going to have that much of a draw if you haven't seen Swiss Family Robinson, except to know that it is another classic Disney attraction. And, you know, I think that kind of pulls you in. I've been through it once, you know, and again, it kind of had a museum feel to it, and it's not something that I just feel the urge to go do every time.
Right.
But it was cool to do the one time, and it's because it is a just walk-through thing. There's not a line for it or anything like that. So I suggest if you find yourself a little bit of free time, and again, you don't mind doing 116 stairs, go for it.
And then what is Treasures of the Seven Seas? I gotta admit, I never saw that.
Treasures of... Oh, that's the... That's that new interactive thing for kids.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's the kids area, the pirates, you know.
Thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you know the kids can go through there and
they get their face painted and they get the.
Yeah, and they have the different thing. It's kind of like the sand pit over in. Dinoland USA at Animal Kingdom, in that it gives kids things to do.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah, I have never done it. I don't think I'm going to be somebody who will ever be doing it, but it is there to be done.
True, true, true.
But again, I'm not a kid. So then we've also got Sunshine Tree Terrace as a eatery in Adventureland.
An eatery,
which... I think I've stopped by there a couple of times for drinks.
Mm-hmm. That's all we got.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of an indoor-outdoor thing.
Yes. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting the way it's set up. But again, if I'm over there, I'm that close to Aloha Isle, I'm going to go get my Dole Whip. So.
And that's all you need to know, Dole Whip.
Yeah, that's what kind of falters there for me. And then... you also have Tortuga Tavern, which used to be El Parada y El Perico,
which is just so easy to say for Americans.
It just rolls off the tongue. I don't know why they ever changed the name to Tortuga Tavern. I don't know if it's open anymore as Tortuga. And by anymore, I don't mean like it may be closed, but El Parada was very much a seasonal area. In fact, I happen to know because my sister worked quick service food and beverage at Magic Kingdom, and she actually worked Tomorrowland Terrace and El Parada, that they typically use the same staff for both of those. And so only when it was very, very busy would they even open El Parada. So I don't know if that's the same case with Tortuga Tavern, but you may want to take that you may want to think about that when you're making your decision on where to eat, but it is Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
So burritos, nachos, that kind of stuff.
And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. We got nachos kind of to go when we were there. And
I know they're not mine. I wasn't there.
Do what?
I said, I know they weren't mine. I wasn't there. So why are you telling me they're nachos?
Oh, man. That is almost as cheesy as the Jungle Cruise.
But still not. That's right, folks. The Jungle Cruise still has me beat. So if you're wondering how cheesy the Jungle Cruise is, cheesier than
it's Velveeta.
It is.
That wraps up Adventureland. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast and like us on Facebook. We are Missing the Mouse. And you can get to all of our pages and everything from our website, missingthemouse.co. We will see you next week to talk about Frontierland and Liberty Square. And have a magical day.